and welcome back to Budget Arcade, the free-to-play gaming podcast that helps you navigate through the growing realm of free-to-play games. My name's Jeff.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And each and every other week, we review a free-to-play game, but on these off weeks, Mark and I have no idea what's happening.
Literally, I don't know what show is this? Budget Arcade? Oh, okay, yeah.
This is Budget Arcade. So we take this, and Mark is extremely ill-prepared. We had talked about what we were going to do, and then he quickly forgot and then got it in his brain that this month was October and we were going to talk about horror games. But that is not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about the PlayStation 1 and our memories of a console that we both enjoyed growing up. Mark, I know you loved the N64, but you had and enjoyed the PlayStation 1 in its prime, right?
That's correct. I enjoyed, you know, there's different aspects between the two. I know they were rival systems, and you either were a Nintendo fanboy or you were the Sony fanboy. But I enjoyed the place. I think that's where my fanboyism came about, was with the original PlayStation.
Yeah, my brother and I got it from our mom for Christmas one year. And my parents separated when I was young, but we were visiting her for Thanksgiving and she let us play it in advance. And then we had to leave it there until we came back for Christmas. Then we could take it back home to my dad's. And so the first two games we got were Tekken, which is my favorite fighting series, hands down, the first game. And we got, as you know, I'm a wrestling fan. We got WrestleMania, the arcade game, which is excellent. It's like the NBA Jam of wrestling games.
Right.
Do you remember what you got with your PlayStation?
So I got mine for Christmas as well. I don't remember what year. I think it wasn't the year.
I don't either.
It wasn't the year that it launched. I think it was probably the next year. But
I suspect it was the same for me.
And I remember I got a Spyro, the original Spyro game. There was another game. Maybe Tomb Raider. I don't remember. Like I'm probably misremembering, you know, when exactly I got this console and these games.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah,
brother and I dodged a bullet. Because before the PlayStation had come out, we were talking to our mom about getting us the 3DO. Do you remember the 3DO?
Yeah.
That would have been the biggest mistake, to get a 3DO instead of a PlayStation, which once we realized our mistake, we did then corrected our mom. No, mom, we want the PlayStation. And we were fortunate to have that happen. Now, I think it was Cody. You don't know Cody. Cody was the first Mark on this show. And he was a big fan of Resident Evil. We had many arguments because I hate that series. And the reason I hate that series is that my brother and Scott insisted on playing Resident Evil on the PlayStation, a single-player game.
Those are my favorite.
Together, somehow they played two-player on a single-player game, while I wanted to play Tekken or WrestleMania, which were both two-player games.
Right.
And yet, I didn't get to. And that's why I don't like that series. I hate Resident Evil.
All right, so what was your... All right. Real quick, off the top of your head, name me your top three, your favorite PlayStation 1 games.
Crash Bandicoot.
Okay.
If I have to pick one of them, I would say Crash Bandicoot 2.
Okay.
WWE SmackDown. Tekken 3.
Okay. Tekken 3 was... That was at the end of the lifespan.
And then you
of
get
console,
like Soul
right?
Edge, which is really good, but that no, it was right. I think it was at the peak. Because Tekken 4 definitely came out on the next gen on the PlayStation 2, but Tekken 3 to me is the perfect fighting game. It's still excellent.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, and they ask me on a different day, and I might replace Crash Bandicoot 2 with Crash Team Racing. Both are fantastic. But I was a wrestling fan, and while I, and in favor of your preferred console, the 64, the N64 had better wrestling games. But this one, the SmackDown series was still pretty good.
Yeah. They, so because you asked me what my favorite...
Oh, Mark, let me ask you, since I care, since I won't be able to go to bed without knowing this, what are your, off the top of your head, top three PlayStation games?
I mean, everybody's who's played the PlayStation except you, and man, I think it's because you don't enjoy these type of games, but Final Fantasy VII.
I get that, though, right? You're not going to find an argument from me.
Right.
Just not my personal favorite. But I think if we did a Mount Rushmore of PlayStation games, which, hey, maybe we'll do that. We don't know before the end of the episode. That I think that would have to be on it, right? If we're just talking about the power and the notoriety of a game on this console that defines the era, it's one of the four.
Right. But it's not the best Final Fantasy game. It's like the definitive.
Did you say seven?
Yeah, I said seven because that was my introduction to Final Fantasy, and that was the most immersive game that I think I played in that console generation.
Did you complete the campaign?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And
something I've never done. I've never finished an RPG. As long as you don't count Pokemon as RPG. I finished a Pokemon game.
But anyways, Final Fantasy IX is better than VII, in my opinion.
I've heard a lot of people say that. It's more along the lines of classic Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's that
cute
fantasy, at least aesthetically. I've never played the game.
I enjoyed the story more than VII. But VII appealed to me as a younger gamer. You know, I'm growing up, this wild child, and here comes Cloud Strife, and he's, you know, got this big-ass sword, and then he's going up against Sephiroth and his huge sword. I mean, it was just cool. It's a cool game.
Just trying to see who's the longest length.
there's probably, what is it called? Not alliteration. Anyways,
come on, Mark.
Anyway,
okay.
No. This is a
PG
podcast. But anyway, so Final Fantasy VII, Tony Hawk.
Say no more. I need to rethink mine because absolutely, I don't know what number you were about to say.
No, the original one.
But absolutely,
yeah.
I would argue two is better than one.
Two is better.
Because
it
brings in the manual,
which
allows you to chain your combos.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Tony Hawk. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, that was probably the most fun I had on the PlayStation was playing Tony Hawk.
Again, that's, to me, another Rushmore game.
Yeah.
The Tony Hawk series on PlayStation just...
Did you just do the chef's kiss?
No, I did. Well, I did the mind blown and thing, and then I realized it's an audio medium, and no one knows.
You know, if anybody listening out there doesn't already know, is that we have YouTube videos now. So maybe,
well, you could not see our face, but yeah, you could listen to us.
But I was gonna say maybe Scott organizes a where you get to see our face one day. Anyways.
Nah, I'm good. Nobody wants to see this.
The third one would probably...
You've got two bangers right out of the game. I can't even argue, Mark. You're nailing it.
Yeah.
What's your last one?
I'm
really hoping you pull a Parasite Eve.
No.
Something real garbage out of it.
No, here. I'm going to pull some garbage out of it, but it's going to be... it was a James Bond game, and it was... what was the middle Pierce Brosnan film?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, that was it. It was
really.
It was
now. See, you came through. You blew it. You didn't stick the landing. You know, your takeoff was amazing, your Final Fantasy. And then you're in the air and you just, you're doing like all kinds of flips and stuff with Tony Hawk. And then you come down and just break your legs with James Bond movie. Like,
I mean, nobody's okay. Perfect. But yeah. No, the that game was amazing to me. Like, I remember, and I got it for Christmas. And
I think I've played that one. And I just remember my N64 friends had GoldenEye, and I'm like, well, I mean,
it was a third person.
We got this.
Yeah, so this game was third person. You play as Pierce Brosnan, and, you know, you essentially follow the movie storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And, but to me, it was just, it was cool as a kid. I'm playing as James Bond, and I had the 64, and I had GoldenEye. It's just, it was a different experience. I don't think I had ever played a third person shooter before that game.
Right. Yeah. And I could see that because this is more that cinematic where games kind of go.
Yeah.
So another game. So let's just say we're doing a Mount Rushmore. We already have Final Fantasy VII and Tony Hawk 2.
This is just Mount Rushmore of original PlayStation.
PlayStation 1.
Okay. Okay.
So I submit to you Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I say that is because you kind of, with your bizarre choice of 007, the fact that it's a third-person game and it made me think of the more cinematic games today, Metal Gear Solid was like the first cinematic game where you felt like you were watching a movie.
Yeah.
Where it spanned two or three discs, and I remember finishing it and just being like, wow, it's like watching a movie, but it's a video game. It blew me away. Granted, I would not call myself a fan of the series, but I'm a fan of the first game. It hasn't aged that well. It's kind of tough to go back to, in my opinion. But at the time, it was like, whoa.
Well, no, I mean, it really introduced stealth gameplay.
Yeah.
If my memory is correct, and it's probably not.
The Metal Gear Solid Metal Gear series has been around a while, and it had stealth gameplay.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't third.
It was top down 2D. Yeah.
But so, like, Tomorrow Never Dies really whet my appetite for third person shooter games. And I remember.
So did you play Siphon Filter at all?
Yeah, I played Siphon Filter. Played, obviously, Tomb Raider. I went back to Tomb Raider, even though Tomb Raider was the OG third-person shooter game on the PlayStation. But I went back and I got that game. I got, there was another game that I got. It was third-person shooter. I don't remember what it is. But that, I mean, that's, so Tomorrow Never Dies really has a nostalgia, you know, place, it has a place in my video game heart because it took me to a genre that, you know, I don't know what would have been my first foray into those type of games had I not played Tomorrow Never Dies. And I think the only reason I got the game was because I was like so in love with Pierce Brosnan as James Bond and seeing those James Bond movies when they came out.
I will say he's my James Bond, personally. That's who I think of.
Yeah, no, I think he's the best. Like, this is off topic, but it'll correlate. Who's the best Bruce Wayne? Not Batman, but Bruce Wayne.
I hate that argument.
No,
but,
no. But who's the best Bruce Wayne?
Probably Clooney.
Okay.
I mean, just from a, like,
I would have said Keaton, guy. But...
I mean, I guess my answer is going to be Kevin Conroy for both. Because Kevin Conroy is the best.
Yeah, but have you seen Kevin Conroy in real life?
Yeah.
Dude is not looking good. No, but anyway, so the reason I say that is because when I think of James Bond, you know, I didn't... Who was the guy? Who was the 80s James Bond?
There's Dalton.
Dalton, that's it. Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Roger Moore is probably who you're thinking of, though.
No, Timothy Dalton, he only had two movies, right?
Dalton, who was the one who... Dalton just had, like, License to Kill and I think one other, maybe.
Yeah, no, it was the short-lived one. But when Pierce Brosnan started playing the character, he was just so super elegant. He was...
So, real quick. Dude, we'll get off of this topic, but real quick. I saw Mrs. Doubtfire before... Oh, yeah. He was ever James Bond, and he's in that movie, and I'm like, hey, they got James Bond. Even though he wasn't James Bond yet, right. It just somehow, he's automatically James Bond.
Yes.
It's the same guy to me.
He's so elegantly British. He's just suave.
He can't throw a punch.
No, he's not your action star, but he was, but I take that back. In the 90s, Pierce Brosnan was an action star.
Okay.
All right, we're done. Yeah.
Let's wrap up 007 because
all right,
this isn't DOS Wonder Movie House or whatever we called it. you've got one. Wait, did you already do your top three? No, you did. You did. So
yeah.
We have one spot left on Mount Rushmore. We have Final Fantasy VII, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, Metal Gear Solid.
All right, so we're gonna have a battle here because. I have a feeling you're going to say one character.
Oh, I'm not going to say Crash.
Are you not?
Like, okay. His games... No, his games are great, but they are not... None of them, to me, are timeless. Right? Like, they're all great, fun platformers, but I don't go back to them like I do, you know, Mario 1, you know, right. Super Mario Bros. Or Mario 3, or, you know, they're not that level. To me,
all right. So who would you?
Where
pick?
Else would we go?
It's one of two.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's either Spyro, or it's Lara Croft. I think either one of those. It's because both of those franchises
I have no relationship with Spyro
were mainstays on the original PlayStation. They both had several games. On the console, both were, you know, both pioneered different new ways of storytelling in games and gameplay options and so anyway, for your consideration.
I'm sure someone's going to say, specifically Scott's going to be like, you didn't talk about this game that we played a whole lot when we were kids. But I can't think of one. I can't think of anything else that I mean, as much as I don't like the series, Resident Evil was groundbreaking.
Okay. Yeah. But see, that wasn't a like exclusive PlayStation 1 game.
Well, neither was Tomb Raider.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Wait a minute.
That was on PC.
Oh, it was on PC. It wasn't on the 64, I don't think.
I'm trying to think of a game that I rented in that era, played it, and was like, oh my gosh.
Rayman, maybe?
Ugh.
No?
boy. I guess I would say Tekken 3. You just... The perfect fighting game.
Yeah, see, like, I didn't get big into fighting games.
Well, that's like Spyro for me. Yeah. I've never played Spyro.
I haven't played a Spyro game since, I think, PlayStation 2. And I know they've had at least one Spyro game every console generation, but...
Yeah, but they've been the Skylander. Like, I think the classic, what's a third person Spyro game began and ended on the PlayStation.
Right.
Or I'm tempted to even pick a sports game like NHL 98 was great, but it's not. Yeah. I'm trying
to think what would be, you know, like.
Ridge Racer? Ridge Racer. Oh, I know. No. Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo
oh,
2.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically. Because Gran Turismo. And granted, I'm not a fan of the genre of sim racers anymore, but Gran Turismo was good. Gran Turismo 2 was amazing. the graphics were insane on those cars, and the physics and the separation of the wheels from the cars, the way they moved independently. It wasn't like a car ice skating on a track. It had that suspension, and the fact that you could have a collection of cars and customize them and put rims on them and have them look the way you wanted with the paint job and the color. I loved it. Now, granted, the Forza series, I think, is probably better now, but back then that's all we had. And it was the first time we had like a sim racer where you just had to drive not just fast, but well.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. That's that is a solid choice. I don't know how you put a car on the mountain, but
what?
The Rushmore.
Yeah, you just put the GT logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody else gets their face.
Yes.
No, I mean, Ridge Racer was a launch game. I just looked it up. I
know that because one thing that Ridge Racer did that was dope is you put the disc in and it would load everything from the disc into RAM. So you no longer needed the disc. So you could pop the disc out and put in a CD and it would play the music from the CD while you raced.
Did it really?
Yes. The first Ridge Racer.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. It was dope. And the thing was, is it played like, it wasn't Galaga, but it was like a Galaga-esque game. Because the initial load time was a little long, but you played this Galaga game while it loaded everything into RAM. So once the game loaded, there were no load times. And you just played Ridge Racer, and then you dropped in a CD. It was dope. It was evolutionary. Revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
Both.
Did you ever play Zero Divide? It's a fighting game.
No.
I didn't either. It was a launch game, though. Wipeout was...
Wipeout's decent. I mean, to me, I look back at the PlayStation library, and there's a lot of bangers, right?
Yeah.
And then... But there's a lot of just garbage.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the games, because it's this first generation of 3D that just don't age well, including, like, Metal Gear Solid to me, that... I've gone back, like in my late 20s, I went through a bit of a retro collecting phase, mm-hmm. and I bought a bunch of Genesis games that I love. All of them are still good. The ones that were good are still good, and the ones that were bad are still bad. But I started collecting for the PlayStation a little bit, and none of them were really like, this isn't as good as I remember. You know, like Crash is still good. You know, Final Fantasy is still good, but... A lot of the ones that you'd rent on a weekend, and you'd be like, that was fun. And then now you go back and play, it's like, ooh. did you have the... So the PlayStation is the first console I bought with my own money. So the first one we got had an overheating issue or something. I don't remember, but apparently it was quite common where in order to get it to work, you put your disc in, you turned it on, and then you flip the console upside down.
What?
And then the game would run because there was some sort of weird issue. Now, my brother was technically savvy and still is. He cracked the case and like soldered something or whatever and got it working again. But then it eventually just died. And at that point, my brother was like all into the N64. He didn't care about anything else. And he was just like drinking the Kool-Aid. And I was like, "What? I want to play my PlayStation game." So I had a job at that point. I went out and I bought another one, and this one was mine. And so that's always going to be a special place in my heart for the original PlayStation.
Well, so there's another game that I was tempted to put in my top three, but didn't.
Was it Intelligence Cube?
No.
Now that's a good game.
No, it was Die Hard Trilogy, the game.
Ooh.
Did you ever play that? Did you play that?
Oh, yeah. I liked that game a lot.
Holy crap.
It wasn't as good as Die Hard, the arcade game for the Sega Saturn, but it was still really good.
What blew my mind is that, it was three different games in one.
Three genres.
Right. So it spanned all three movies, and you know, when you play Die Hard, the original film, you play as a third-person shooter. You're playing as Bruce Willis running through Nakatomi Plaza. And you're shooting dudes, and you're trying to rescue hostages and all that. It was great. And then Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
It was like Virtual Cop.
Well, it was on rails.
Yeah, it was like a Virtual Cop on rails. Yeah, so it was arcade light gun shooter.
Yeah. And that was really great. It took place in exclusively in the airport. You know, dudes are popping up from behind, you know, luggage and behind escalators and whatnot. Anyways, it was great. And then Die Hard with a Vengeance, it's a driving game.
Yeah.
And you're in a taxi cab, and you have to get to the bomb. There's bombs all around the city, and you have to get to the bombs before they blow up. And
it's like Crazy Taxi. Yeah. But a little more grounded.
Yeah. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic PlayStation.
I agree. I think that's one that I rented and really loved. Now, it might be one of those games if I go back to, I'll be like, ugh.
Oh, right.
But you can't deny the ambition to essentially make three games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would put Mortal Kombat Trilogy on this list because that is, to me, of classic Mortal Kombat games, that's the one to get. It has all the characters. It has the fighting engine from 3, which is, to me, a pinnacle of Mortal Kombat. That's one of my favorites, too. I remember, going to trade it in for some reason. Because my brain, when you're a kid, you don't have money.
Right.
So you trade in your games to, at the time for me, was a store called Rhino Video Games.
Oh, yeah.
And I rode my bike from one end of town to the other to trade it in. And I got there and the disc wasn't in the jewel case. And I was like, dang it. But at the end of the day, though, I really probably shouldn't have traded it. It's a great game. I can't think of any others. I mean, I'm sure I loved, NBA In the Zone, specifically 2, was a game changer for me. As far as basketball games, a 3D basketball game, and I was playing as my Sonics, and I could trade players to teams. And when you traded, let's say I traded to get, Anthony Hardaway from Orlando to Seattle, my favorite basketball team, he would have a jersey that said Hardaway on the back, but it was a Sonics jersey. And it blew my mind that the game could do that. You know what I mean? I loved it.
That was me, but for Madden 98, maybe.
98 was the first good Madden.
Yeah.
But 99 was the 3D Madden, and that was a game changer.
The only reason I play, and it has a fond memory for me is that was the first video game that I played. And I remember I didn't have Madden until it was either 98 or 99.
98 was 3D fields with 2D sprites as the players.
Yeah.
And then 99 was fully rendered 3D players and fields.
It might have been 99 then. But I remember going into, it was either JCPenney's or Sears. And in their electronics department, they would have the demos of different games attached to the columns in the store. And you could sit there and you could play a full length game as the demo, all day. It was like essentially free arcade.
Right. Yeah.
and so, I remember in, my mom worked
it's like a budget arcade almost.
Right? Hey, my mom was, she was manager of JCPenney's up in Jacksonville at the time, and so I remember I went to JCPenney's all the time, and that's what I would do, waiting on my mom to get off work, and so I got the game, it had to be 99 then, I'm a big Jacksonville Jaguars fan, and so you know, they were coming off some really good years, and that was the first
the
game.
Brunell years.
Yes. The Fred Taylor years, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So I got the game, and I'm playing as the Jaguars, and it was just, it was fantastic.
I want to say 99 was also the first one that had a franchise mode. So you could play multiple seasons. Yeah. So you'd finish. So up until that point, people who don't play sports games, you could play one season and then that was it. And then if you wanted to play some more, you'd have to start a whole new season. So I played on 98, which I really loved. I played season after season. But in 99, when you finish your season, players retire.
Yeah.
They get traded to other teams. You draft rookies, and then you play another season. And that was a game changer for me as a sports game fan.
Yeah. No, that was my I didn't get into basketball games until later on in the
NBA in the zone, man.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Matt, we used to just he was a Bulls fan because of course he was. It was the 90s. And I was a Sonics fan because I don't sell out like that. And we just played that game all the time.
Yeah. The,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I love basketball games.
I think I played NBA Jam on the original PlayStation, but to me it wasn't as fun. Nor maybe it was the 64 that I played it on. Anyways, I didn't think the game was as fun as the arcade version. And
by that point you were getting like NBA Showtime and these other versions of the same thing. Yeah.
So it you know, those sports games I didn't there was a baseball game in the PlayStation 1 life.
Oh, the EA series called Triple Play Baseball.
Maybe.
And I know we're losing so many listeners because they don't care about sports games. But it's called Triple Play Baseball, and it was fine. But the beautiful thing was it had fake ads. And if you, anybody who knows me and has listened to Neo Retro Video Game Disco knows that I love a good fake ad. And they had one for Chork, which was not quite chicken, not quite pork. It's Chork. They had one for Extreme Doilies. It was awesome.
All of today's action is sponsored by Kaleidoscope Eyes.
The place for monogrammed contact lenses. Kaleidoscope Eyes.
Yeah. So, those original sports games, is because I played baseball when I was a kid. I played basketball. Played football in school. You know, those games really, you know, I was like, oh, man, this is so great. But I'm pretty sure I played my first experience with a sports game was on the PlayStation.
If you don't count NBA Jam, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Well, my first time was actually playing Madden on the Sega Genesis, and I didn't care about football back then. And my friend kicked the ball off to me, and I ran it back for a touchdown on the kickoff. And then I didn't score again the rest of the game, but, you know. Well, I think we're good then. So what do we decide on? Our Mount Rushmore PlayStation 1 games, we're going to go with Final Fantasy VII, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, Metal Gear Solid, and Gran Turismo 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Works for me.
I think that's a good collective group representation of the best franchises and games that were on the...
Really came through with that Tony Hawk one. I can't believe I didn't even think about that. Because Tony Hawk 2, I put in so many hours on that game.
I forget what the NoFX song... Tony Hawk... The game,
the soundtrack,
yeah,
legendary, man.
That might have set me up for my musical taste for life. Playing that game.
Are you googling Tony Hawk soundtrack?
Yeah. All right. So the original game had the Dead Kennedys on it. They had Suicidal Tendencies, the Suicide Machines.
Good gracious. emo much?
Oh, yeah. This is emo before emo was emo.
What? This is emo before emo was emo. Okay. Did you find that song? Because I want to stop.
It's I don't know. There's no FX.
Okay.
There's no FX
songs. There's no FX songs? Yeah, okay, no. Well.
It might be
well,
speed.
That's going to do it for this week. This is a budget arcade. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/budgetarcade, Twitter and Instagram at Budget Arcade. Check out our TikTok and our Twitch, both of which are a Budget Arcade podcast. Music is provided to us by Stimage, and you can find his music at metroidmetal.com.
We got a YouTube channel now.
We have a YouTube channel. Well, we've had a YouTube channel, but now if you prefer to listen to your podcasts on YouTube, you can do so. YouTube.com/budgetarcade. Well, apparently, according to YouTube, a lot of people do it.
Really?
Yeah.
But why?
I don't.
but why?
Because they're not familiar with podcasts and how to access them, I guess.
Okay. Cool.
Even though I think the medium is older than YouTube. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Imagineville Podcast Network.